Welcome. Grace and Truth Church, April 16th, 2024. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we were crucified with you. Lord, we thank you that you took our sin, our burdens, and took them to the cross, Lord, to give us your life, to make a way of an escape, Lord, from all temptation, from this world. Lord, bless your word as it goes forth tonight. In Jesus we pray, amen. Okay, how's everybody? So tonight we're going to look at death. Not to be doom and gloom. This is a good thing. This is such a good thing. I hope we get it. To bring his light, his resurrection from the dead into our co-crucifixion with Christ, to our resurrection in Christ. To see that resurrection life comes through death. To understand that we have been born again into a new creation through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I want to share something. You know, I knew this guy once. This guy's no longer with us. This guy passed away but a few years ago. I attended his funeral. And at his funeral, there were tears. People would miss him dearly. Including myself. I mean, that's it. His life was over, and the people in his life that loved him mourned him greatly, for he was gone, never to return. A few people stood up to say a few things about that man. Good words. Typical of what you might hear at a funeral. You know, he was a good guy. He was willing to help people, give the shirt off his back. Lighthearted, outgoing, always looking to laugh and sharing a laugh with somebody. You know, typical funeral stuff you would hear. And there were also things I heard in the quiet conversations at that funeral home from the people that attended the service. He was in such a terrible place. He's in a better place now. It's so sad that he ended up where he did. He had so much talent. What a wasted life. At least now his parents and his loved ones don't have to suffer anymore loving the man that he became. And as I considered the truth of the words being spoken in private, it broke my heart, for they were true. They were right. It is better that he died than continue living the life that he lived. His life was no longer the thing spoken about during the eulogy. His life was the reality of the things spoken in those private conversations. And this was my funeral. I attended it. My question to you is, have you attended yours? Have you faced the realities of what your life is apart from Christ? The fact is that our lives are no more than whispered truths of forgotten conversations at funeral homes. Whether good or bad, apart from Christ, they will fade with time. One generation passes and another generation comes and the earth keeps on taking. What will be spoken of you in those private conversations at your funeral? Will it be spoken of you what Christ has accomplished in your life? Will it be a worship service unto the Lord when you go to meet him? Will your funeral be a worship service to him? 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Or will it be spoken of you the soon forgotten conversations as time moves forward in people's lives? Think about it. 3-4 generations back, what do you know intimately about any of those people? Your grandparents' parents. It's forgotten. It's forgotten. But if they lived for Christ, the things they learned have been passed on from generation to generation, starting with Christ and the disciples and so on and so on. You might not know the name attached to it in this life, what you learn from Christ. The kingdom of heaven does, though. And the things that Christ accomplishes through us will continue on from generation to generation. Things we learn about Christ 4, 5, 6, 7, 12, 20 generations sooner. Somebody learned it and shared it. And this was their life. And at their funeral, that's what was talked about. And that's what endures forever, the word of God. Or will it be them forgotten conversations? 1 Peter 1:24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away. You know, I was saved at a young age, but by the grace of God, I knew that I was a sinner, and I needed a Savior. That was an easy one for me. That day was marked on a rock rolled away from the tomb in 30 A.D., as it is with everyone who puts their trust in the Lord. Where our Savior died on that cross, was resurrected from the tomb, so that he might give us his eternal life, his free gift of salvation through faith by his grace. But the day I attended my own funeral, the day I attended Greg Seligman's funeral, that was a different day. That day was but a few years ago, when I had a choice to live and do the things I wanted, the way I've done them, my entire life, or to submit my will for my life to God, to follow him down the narrowest, difficult path I've ever taken, a path that I would not have chose for myself, a path that took me to my own funeral, where God showed me myself as dead, so that I could make a decision that went against every want and desire I had in my life, because the word of God said contrary to it. That day is when I attended my own funeral. I couldn't have made of myself make the decision the Lord commanded of me. I had to die and witness my own death. The reality of what Christ accomplished on his cross for all who put their trust in him. A reality that was hidden from me up until this point. I was unable to see it until he brought me to that place and showed me myself crucified in him and dead. And when he gave me this choice, he brought me with Peter and the disciples in John chapter 6 to Capernaum. I mean, I was there. The Lord told me something too difficult to accept, too difficult to understand, and I complained. John 6:60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Luke 7:23. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Oh, I was offended. The word of God is described as a hammer, a fire, a sword. It will offend you. Blessed is that man that is not offended by it. And if you listen to teachers and preachers that never offend your self-image, your self-worth apart from Christ, I challenge that they are giving you the counsel of the Word of God in its entirety. It hurts. It cuts. Blessed is this man or woman who is not offended because of Jesus, the living Word of God. Like I said, I was offended. I couldn't do it. He told me that I was dead to this situation, dead to those wants and desires. I have been crucified with Christ, but alive in him and perfect in him. And I complained, "This is too difficult. I can't do it." And not knowing at the time, this very unpleasant thing in my life, not knowing at the time, this is exactly where he needed me to be. The only place he needs us to be. "I can't do it, Lord." There is 5 words of my understanding that I know very well, and I'm learning over and over again. He isn't looking for you and I to do anything. He is waiting for us to believe what he has accomplished for us at his cross. And that is everything. Everything concerning our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification before the Father in him. He has done everything, and he will do everything in you. If you can understand that you have been crucified with Christ when temptation comes. John 6:66, "And many went back to their lives and walked with him no more." And unfortunately, there are believers, maybe even in this room, I hope not, that have had this encounter with Jesus and could not accept it. It was too difficult. And walked with him no more. And didn't even know they refused the call. So, you know, we go to church, we study our scriptures, we pray. Crucial, important. But I'm talking about that narrow path. That narrow path that few find. That difficult path. That path that requires you to leave everything behind before you can enter it. Because if you're taking anything with you on this path that leads to life, it won't fit. You won't make it down that path. It's that narrow. You can only take with you what you might take if you were to be crucified on a cross. What would you have in your hands? Nothing. They'd strip you naked and nail you to a cross. That's what you can take with you to the narrow path that leads to life. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Many left. Many said, this was too difficult for us to understand. And this was, Jesus was referring to eating his flesh and drinking his blood in the context of John chapter 6. So when Jesus brought me here with the disciples in Capernaum, he asked me the same question. Has he asked you this question? Any head nods? Has he asked you this question? Has he called something in your life that's too difficult for you to do and you refuse the call, knowing that he has called you to this? And I'm here to tell you, he already has. And maybe you were too absorbed with yourself, too much in love with the things of this life, that you didn't even hear the question asked of you. Because he asked every one of his followers this question. He gives us all the opportunity to follow him. Where he gives us an opportunity to walk out the reality of our co-crucifixion with him. I can't do it, Lord. It's too difficult. And he said, then follow me to my cross. To die to self, to lose this life, to pick up our cross and follow him. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I tell you, many go back. I've took a couple steps back. Back to the wide path that leads to destruction. What you're asking of me is too difficult, Lord. And he says, I know. I know you can't do it. That's why I've done it for you. And yet we just refuse the call and go down the wide path that leads to destruction. So looking back, that funeral and those private conversations, looking back to the private conversations whispered over the past few years of the man that I used to be, the man that died, I realized that it is better that that man died than living contrary to the word of God. And this is why Christ came. This is why he humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. Because he saw that it was better that he died on that cross than for us to continue the life of sin and death under the upcoming judgment of his wrath. Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, towards each one of us in this room, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath through him. He said, Father, send me. I will bear your wrath. It is better that I die than they all perish. It is better that we have died with Christ than to live in sin and death. Better that we have died with Christ than to live for anything this world has to offer. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. It is better that we died. The world will lie to you and say it's not. Wide path leading to destruction. Narrow path leading to life. Do you understand this? That it is better to be dead than to be like the adulterous woman in Proverbs 30:20. Each and every one of us was. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. That's why Christ died for us, because we were that woman. So if anyone in this room or the hearing of my voice attends my funeral someday, if I am so blessed to go to the Lord before you, it's okay. Completely okay. The date on that tombstone isn't the day I died. I died in 30 AD. And I came to this realization that I died when I chose to live my life for God instead of myself, but a few years ago. Daily learning how to deny myself and pick up my cross, following Christ to his cross through his word, laboring in his word. Do you labor in his word, seeking him for understanding, seeking his face daily until Christ is formed? He will be formed in your life if you labor and work at his word to understand him, to know him. He will be formed in us in this life and then fully formed in us in the next. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. To understand this death of Christ, so that we might rejoice in death to self, not flee and run from it. Rejoice in the death of the saints. Rejoice in what his death accomplished for us. And that is resurrection life. A life that began the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior. A reality of a new birth that can only be experienced in this life by attending your own funeral. By coming to the understanding that this happened. By knowing it, believing it, and have it worked out in your life that you are crucified in Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. In the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you so much, he hung on a cross and died for you. John 12:23-26. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's going to a cross to die. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Unless it dies, it remains alone. Unless you learn that you have been crucified with Christ, you will not produce much fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Dies to what? Dies to yourself. Die to yourself. Every right you have to yourself, every opinion, every preference, every taste, it got to go. Lord, your will be done in my life. And unless you die, you will remain alone. But if it dies, but if you die, you will produce much grain for the kingdom of heaven. You will die to yourself, the situation, to go to bed and not know how even the crop grew overnight. But it will grow. Die to this life. Hate this life. Unless you do, you will lose the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. You will lose your inheritance. Let him follow me, Jesus says. Follow me to the cross and to resurrection life. A new birth, a new life, a new creation in him. There he has called us to follow him. Everything. I mean, everything has to go. Does this offend you? That you bring nothing to the table. The only thing we brought to the table was our sin. Good news, because we have nothing to bring or hand. Who are we that we can give God anything? Now, he doesn't say here, do your best in this life and you'll gain his. Be really good in this life and you'll gain his. It irks me that Christianity teaches good works. Be good. That's the result of the Christian life, not the command. Really try hard in this life and you will gain his. No. He says, look to the cross and see yourself in him, receiving the due punishment for our sins against him. Understand the only contribution we had in our salvation, like I said, where his love for you and I was made a public spectacle, was our sin. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You know, we talk about being more than conquerors in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Taking fortune cookie verses and holding them like that's the context of what we're talking about. Yet I hear it and I do it within myself. I complain. I wrestle against flesh and blood. I do not cast down thoughts that exalt themselves above the word of God. I do all things contrary to his commands and call my struggles of loving this life, because that's what they are, spiritual warfare. Absolutely not. It's worldly warfare, and it brings death. And if you don't love this life, you won't struggle the way you do. If you are struggling and this is a burdensome life, You're loving this life because you're holding on to what this life offers, and it's not so pleasant for you. You might say, well, I'm very unhappy with this life. I don't love this life. I've gotten a raw deal. I don't love it. But you're unhappy because you're putting your trust in this life. You're looking for the things that only God can offer in this life. Therefore, you love this life. You're not willing to lose it. And here's how to overcome. Believe that the sacrifice made by the Father, by sending His Son, has cleansed you of all unrighteousness, and now has you in right standing before Him by faith. Nothing of yourself. Confess that this is how you have been saved and will be perfected in Christ. Agree with Him. Come into agreement. And then, when this life tempts you, choose death to self and life in Him. Go to your funeral. See yourself in the coffin. Galatians 2:20. I said it before. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but Christ lives in us. In the life we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and hung and died on a cross for us. Paul says here, I've attended my own funeral. Have you attended yours? He understood and now believed that he died with Christ. When Christ was crucified, so was he, as it is with you and I. Christ hung on that cross to take us with him. He didn't die for himself. He hung on that cross for you and I, so that he might save wretched men and women like you and I. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, the Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, freedom from sin, as God's been teaching. But with the flesh, the law of sin, slavery to sin. We must understand that there is no fixing ourselves. None. No set of rules or laws that will perfect us. We died with Christ so that we might live in His perfection, His faith, His obedience to the Father, not of ourselves, lest any of us should boast. It's mutually exclusive. You're either alive in the Spirit of Christ or dead in your flesh. Which one are you? So my question right now to you is, what situations right now in your life is Jesus asking you to die to? Pleasurable things? Unpleasurable things? Or are you struggling and fighting, justifying yourself, wrestling with flesh and blood, trying your best, being a victim of circumstances? You know that Christian life we don't get to be victim of circumstances anymore. Whatever happens, you're not a victim. You're not a victim to sin anymore. You've been made new in Christ. So you're not a victim to the sins of others either. There's one victim, it was Christ, and he willfully hung on a cross. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Jesus Christ was portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How were you saved? Did you hear and believe? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Are you going to work to become perfect before God? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Suffering in vanity, suffering in meaninglessness. It's a sad existence to a Christian life. Let the world do that. I know there's some type of suffering in your life. Is it but for vanity, or are you willing to go to the cross and see yourself crucified in Christ and attend your own funeral so that it is not in vain? The world suffers in vain. Christians suffer in glory so that God may be glorified. I want to point this out too with this Galatians. Having been made perfect in the flesh. No one strives to get to their own funeral. This isn't something that needs to be worked to. Who do you know that was like, man, I'm really trying really hard to get to that death? Doesn't happen. As with everything is in the spiritual life, It needs to be known, heard from the Word of God. It needs to be believed, and then it can be worked out. It just is. When Christ died, you died with him, being baptized unto his death. It just is. It's the reality. It's a fact. Like I said, no one that has passed on before us has said, I'm really working hard to get to my funeral. They just ended up there. If I just put a little bit more effort in, someday I'll get there. Nobody's ever said that. So is the spiritual life in Christ. A little more effort isn't going to get you there. A little more faith will. James tells us that faith without works is dead. I knew the scripture, Galatians 2:20. But until I was willing to walk in the truth of what I knew, that knowledge was dead. I knew what the verse said. Had no power in my life. I knew I was crucified from the scriptures, but until it worked it out, it was the equivalent of knowledge without love. Knowledge without the cross, where God demonstrated his love towards you and I. And not only you and I, but to the entire world. Knowledge apart from Christ and him crucified is vanity. I die daily, Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 15. Daily attending our own funeral. Wake up and remind yourself that you were crucified with Christ. Because temptation is going to come. You're going to be mistreated in this world. Underappreciated. But that person is dead that would take offense to that. Now let's look at what he uses in this life to get us there with him, to that cross. To have the realities of what he accomplished on that hill of Calvary and how we have it manifested in our lives. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He will slay you. Will you trust him? The word of God, the sharp two-edged sword, will cut you on the way in and heal you on the way out. Romans 8:28 and 29. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And I think I mentioned this before, and I'll mention every time I hear this verse. Never stop with somebody at this verse. Go to 29. Because the purpose for good in your life is to get you to your own funeral. Not to make the unpleasant things go away. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. The plan for good. And the only way to be conformed into the image of the son is to go to the cross with him. Can't work to get there. The cross was a genius torture device. A torture device unto death, the greatest of its time. On that cross, Christ was crucified. What do you think God's using in your life to bring you to your own funeral? What do you think he's using so that he may hide you in himself from this fallen world under the sway of the evil one? It's your death, your co-crucifixion with him. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died. Colossians 3:2 and 3 tells us, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Not on things of this earth. All your suffering, all your misery comes from things on this earth. Don't keep your mind there, for you died to these things. What do you think he's using? What's something in your life that if you can change, you would? Something unpleasant, maybe? Something you don't like about yourself? Something that if God would only change that one thing, then you would be happy and content. That's your torture device unto death that he's using to show you that you need to rely on him and that you can't do it. And until you willfully die to it, it will not be acceptable to God. Your best efforts in that situation are unacceptable to God because they're coming from you and not his son. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Holy and acceptable to God. What part of the equation do you have in holy and acceptable before God? None. It's Christ. And these things, we resist them, these unpleasant things, that terrible friend, that family member that uses you. that job where you're not appreciated, etc., etc., etc. Fill in your own blank. God is using this for good. God uses all evil for good in a believer's life. If you understand what his plan for good is, then you may be conformed into the image of his son that was obedient to the point of death on a cross. What do you think his goal is for our lives? Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Do you believe this? When it hurts, when it's difficult, do you know that God is cleaning out your soul? But we have a Savior in Jesus who took those blows. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He did not spare his own son, yet we pray our will. Take this cup from me, Lord, period. I'm done with the sentence. The cup he has given us from his hand, we spill it out in front of him and refuse to drink it by complaining, by grumbling, to refusing the call to suffer for his sake. And God's given you that cup of unpleasantness in your life, and when you complain about it, you know you're spilling it out in front of him. If not you, then who? That cup that is in your hands has been given you by the Lord. That cup that we look at and plead, is there any other way, Lord? Any other way? And that's all I'm going to pray for and ask for. Leaving out, nevertheless, not your will be done, Lord. These are our devices of death. That's what God is using. Yet our flesh knows this and resists the will of God in our lives. It's on full alert. Galatians 5:16-17. I said, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Stop fighting against flesh and blood, your own and others. There is no victory. We'll end up like Peter, attempting to prevent Jesus from going to the cross in John 18:10-11. Then Simon Peter, when they came with him with clubs and swords, they came to get Jesus in the garden. Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Put your sword away. The only sword that needs to be in your hand or out of your mouth or in your heart is the word of God. Stop fighting and start dying. Reckon yourself unto death, the sin in the situation. And we have a Christian out here that's teaching good works and our best efforts instead of being crucified with Christ. It's a crap show. A bunch of good people trying to be good. There's no victory there. But I know if I've been crucified with Christ and there's Christ in me to do these things, then there's victory. It's Christ's victory. Romans 6:10-11, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead, for you died. Reckon yourselves to be dead. I have been crucified with Christ. Do you hear it repeated over and over and over in Scripture? Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's everywhere. And how often do you find yourself striving and fighting against your flesh and the flesh of others, wanting them to change, wishing you were different, only to find out when you get the victory that the flesh desired, that there was no victory at all. You did it, not Christ, and it soon loses its glory. There is only one victory that the power of God has confirmed. That is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is found in the message of the cross. Where Jesus told the Father to charge him with our sins as we crucified him to that cross. Do you understand what he's done for us? And what we are called to do for them. It's good that we look to the cross where salvation has appeared. Now are we willing to get on there with him? Look at all the things Christ suffered in Paul. But for a purpose. Not Paul's purpose for a good life here, but God's purpose for the best life in eternity, which is the best life here to have. Hidden in Christ, seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father, in this life. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even to life. They wanted to die. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. Paul said that God used all these things to bring Paul and the disciples to their own funeral. The sentence of death is what they desired, and that's what they got. And it's exactly what God gave them, so that they would learn not to put their trust in themselves, but in God who raises the dead. If you're willing to understand and walk out being crucified with Christ, you will walk in resurrection life. Because it is God who raises the dead, and He has given us new life in Him. That if you're willing to go, willing to accept that difficult thing, that hard thing to understand, if you are willing to attend your own funeral, God will raise you in this life to His resurrection life. Walked out daily. Not something that we wait to die to get to. And you no longer get to give God, here's the cost. There is a cost. You no longer get to give God your best ideas for this life. You no longer get to attempt to counsel the all-knowing God. You no longer have opinions before Him, but only trusting in our loving Father. That He desires that His Son be glorified in you. What a call. What a promise. That if we only believe that death brought glory to the Father through the Son's sacrifice, that by believing this we would see the glory of God. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? What else do you think He's asking you to do? Believe in that situation. Believe that you've been crucified with Christ. You know, He's made a way for every temptation. That way of escape is the cross. And by believing, we will see the glory of God. We will see Jesus, the only faithful, the only good, the only servant of God, manifesting His resurrection life in ours. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We always carry, Paul said, always. Do you always carry this attitude? Carrying our cross to His cross? Where He was delivered over to death so that we might live. Always keeping the cross of Christ between us and all seen and unseen realities. He is the life, and the life that He gives us is Himself. For we do not know Jesus according to the flesh. We know Him thus no longer. If we are not to know Jesus according to the flesh no longer, how much more ourselves and others? These verses show us His resurrection life and how to walk in it here in this earthly temple in our lives. So we always carry. So that the life of Jesus may be revealed. To die is gain. Gain what? Gain Him. When we get out of the way, when we believe that we have been crucified in Christ, we get Him. When I am dying to self, I am giving opportunity, a willing living sacrifice for Him to show me who He is within me. And He is faithful. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. This is something, like I said, that happened when Christ gave Himself up for us. Either we believe this and have Him live through us, or we can deny it and continue our work of the flesh. Two choices. I choose death to self. and our work in the flesh falls short of his glory every time. For we who are alive, us who are believers, those of us that understand and walk in his truth, this is life, to lose our life in exchange for his. John 3:30. I must decrease, he must increase. For we who are alive, given over to death for Jesus' sake. For whose sake? For Christ's sake. All is Christ. All things are for him, of him. We are giving over to death in ourselves so that his life may be revealed in us. Jesus was no exception to this order from the Father. His purpose from before time began. He volunteered to be the sacrifice for sin that would be accepted by the Father once for all sin, was to have him delivered over to death in his sinless mortal body, so that his sinless perfection could be freely given to us. So then, death in me, while life in you. And just like Jesus, having death worked in him so that his life could be in us, we are to have this same death on the cross worked out in us so that his life may be given to the people around us. And in having the life of Jesus revealed in us, having received his life, it can be worked out through us to others. We can't give his life to them without death working in us first. Can't do it. Ripping the veil of our stony heart, giving us this new malleable heart of flesh, given to us by the Lord, this heart may be given to others through our living sacrifice. We take joy in death working in us. Do you take joy in death working in you? Do you understand the Father? Do you understand him from the labor you put into the Word? Do you trust him in all things? And if so, you can take joy in death working in you, so that by any means, he may save the more. Paul says he would gladly spend and be spent so that he may save the more. Are you gladly spent? And will you gladly spend for the people in your life? I rejoice in my death, because in my death, I receive his life. That's it. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. Lord, we thank you for taking us with you, Lord, and that through faith we receive your righteousness, while you accepted our sin and endured your Father's wrath for us, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you keep us cross-centered, cross-eyed, that you work your cross into our lives, through our lives, and out of our lives to the people we love and care about. Lord, bless the offering. Bless the fellowship. In Jesus we pray, amen.